This is San Lorenzo Retreat. It's 11:10:96. This is the Sunday morning overview of the retreat, and it's about 10:30 in the morning. Can we open up first with a serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Well, I want to thank you all first and welcome me again to another start of the retreat. And this Sunday morning is most generally talked about like more for an overview or an opinions or talks about the things that have happened since we got here Friday, and maybe new ideas or old something that needs to be explained a little bit better. It's an overview. It's not like a review. It's not like going back through the steps now and talking about the steps in a manner of going through one step and then another step and then another step. It's more like information, you know, like there's as many times as things I know, as many times as I have said the same thing, they sound the same, but life doesn't stay the same. So these are all things that are they're not repetitive. They're needed to be considered. Even when I thought of myself a long time ago that I had been around so long and read so much and done so much, I knew everything there was to know. And then I find out I personally have to know more today, this day, than I did yesterday. And it's that way for every day in my life. And another thing is, too, is that for those of you that don't consider this, or maybe you do or you don't, is that I have to have exactly what you have to have today. And I need you more than you need me. Now you have to really look inside of that, of what I'm saying, because it's not a self-help program. I can't tell me, or I can't go backwards and use any of yesterday's for today's living, because this is a new day. This is the now. This is the time that anything at all that goes on. I need to have everything God wants me to have right now for the now. Otherwise, I haven't got the program recovery, or I haven't got the power greater than self in me for my life today. Now, you know, this gets lost in the shuffle, what I'm saying. It does, a shuffle of living. It gets lost because of the fact that, you know, for a long period of time, you know, I thought that there was guys way ahead of me at that time. And I thought that, you know, they didn't, they've been around so long and know so much, and there's nothing that they need to know other than the fact that what they're talking about, like a book study thing. You know, you learn it and then you talk about it. So life doesn't go that way. At least my life doesn't go that way. And like this morning now, and for looking backwards on yesterday and Friday night, you see, each of every minute of them of that time, I need that. I need that. I need you to go where I should go, because God says, that's where I want you to go. I want you to be there. I need you, otherwise I can't go anywhere. You may not believe this, or you may not consider it, or anything else like that, but I must, a long time ago, I must realize that exactly each and every day is to count my blessings. That my blessings are every one of you here right now. Every one of you. And this means during the week now, maybe Ali comes over and I talk to Ali. I don't take that for granted. I need Ali there, and I need to talk to him for my life. Maybe we're talking about his life. But I also need it for my life, too. Now, try to think about this as I'm saying this, the way I'm saying it and everything, because it's very important, because of the fact that I'm not a teacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm doing exactly the same thing now for my life that you're doing. I'm trying to find the way that God wants me to find today, to live today, for today. And it takes all of you or one of you. But I can't do it alone. I just can't do it. It's impossible. So you see, when this is going on now, maybe at meetings, maybe for yourself, maybe you'll see a little bit different when you're at that meeting. And maybe you'll notice maybe somebody up there talking or something like that. And take it for granted that you heard them before or whatever you say to yourself at the time, you know, because I know myself, I have the same kind of thoughts. I'm no different than you and no respect at all. And so this here is something to consider, that we do have something that is I believe that others don't have. And all of them people over there, not criticizing them or judging them or anything else like that, I believe we still have more than what they have over there. And when they leave the door over there now, they go out in the world they go into, and maybe the world that they go into doesn't turn into a rat race right around the corner. My world used to turn into a rat race, and I wouldn't even be out of distance of the meeting even, you know. And so what I'm saying right now is the importance that this is very, 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 very important what we're doing, very important. My life is important. See, it never used to be a long time ago. You know, it was like a popularity contest, you know, and all that, you know. It was like a social function and a showing up thing, see, so I can tell somebody later on about how great I'm doing or whatever it is. So this morning, any one of you want to talk, any one of you want to say whatever it is that you believe that you learned here, maybe something changed, maybe the overview of just the trip up here even. I've heard many of them talk about the trip up in here where they discuss in the car or the truck or whatever they're driving, and they have a relationship that all of a sudden turns into something that they never had before. They have each other, and sometimes they're total strangers. You know, they're just riding up because they can't get up here no other way, and so on. You know, that's the things that I mean right now to talk about. That's the things about like Richard and Jose and Ali this morning, serving at the altar, you know, to watch that. See, that's a privilege. See, but that's a privilege from God for let me see that what I saw. I don't know if you saw it, but I've seen it. So let's start it off anyway. And somebody, one of you, any of you want to talk and want to say something about this and that? We got a mic here and we want this on tape. And so it would be wise or better if you came up here. And I yes, you can, sure. But the only thing wrong with questions are at retreats, I find this out myself, is most of the talking is done in the question and not in the solution of the answer. So that's the reason of why the yellow pads were put out with a pen, to break the time factor, you know, that's always there. The retreats I used to do in the past, you know, with somebody talking from the audience, you know, into here and then back again with a solution, took too much time. You know, the first thing you know, you spent an hour and maybe even haven't got off of whatever the question was, you know. So that's why I have the reading, the writing part of it. But this morning we still can do this if it's a question about what was said here, you know, or something like that.
Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
He wrote that.
And well, okay. all right. And that's the reason for this here, because we'll all go together on it, so you know. It says, Bob, the way I see it, principles are truths that I own. Once they have been revealed to me through the taking of each step, these truths become a part of my total being the minute God discloses them to me. Is this an accurate thought? It is an accurate thought. In fact, to learn, like I told you before, I changed the word principles into truth, so that I could live by the truth, because I know what the truth. I know what a truth is, but sometimes I don't know what a principle is, because the principle Like even in step two in your 12 by 12, it said the scientists everything they do is by principle of search and then research, always with an open mind. The principle is the open mind. Now, all I'd have to have, or all I'd have to really know, is what step two says. What I truly need is an open mind. I don't have to go in to tell you why. I don't have to go in to tell you that I use it at work here and there or whatever it is. But you must, I believe you must hear or know or listen to the need or the importance of what it said in the principle or the truth of what it was. The scientists, I don't know what the scientists are. I don't know what they do. I don't know where they work and what they how they function. But they do have the truth, and it's always an open mind. See, whatever they do. See, so that means in all of their affairs, that means that, like us, I have to have an open mind. Not here. Here, of course. But anywhere from here, the open mind goes there, and so on, and that's the importance. Now, the thing about what he says here, he's saying that once I, the truths that I own, once they have been revealed to me through the taking of each step, these truths become a part of my total being the minute God discloses them to me. Well, see, there's a lot to take apart there in the way of this is the way it's worded in that and lived, is that the character change is only in the day I live. That's the new character now, the character change. I've been reborn spiritually. This day today, as I live this day, and as I am the new character, I can have and use and be and do the principles or the truths with God. They're not permanent. They're not permanent, see. They're only in the now as I live the now. This is a hard concept. This is the hidden part I told you a long time ago about, that the alcoholism is a hidden disease. It's hidden. Because it sometimes, just like what you said there, see, it makes you think that I learned something. Now that I know this here, man, I got it made, you know. No, you don't have it made, see? So that has to be considered. Maybe some of you don't consider this. Maybe you don't even think about it, you know. But this right here will make you think about it. And so when the question comes for you in your life today, and say today, this day, after we leave here, or on the road home, or anything like that, or you get home, remember exactly, try to at least, the relationship with the new character in God, so that whoever is there in relationship now, that you can be the man you should be and can be with God, so that you can be kind, considerate, compassionate, patient, tolerant, understanding. All of these here, but see what I just got through naming, I just named a bunch of principles, but they're really truths. And see, I know in myself, inside of myself, the truth is what I need. And so I had to change myself, I had to change the wording in my mind, in my life, that it's, let's not say principle, let's say truth, let's look at the truth. The truth is like lying. The principle is I shouldn't lie. The spiritual principle alone says don't lie. You know, but the truth is, I don't lie. I don't need to lie. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a liar, and so on. But it means about everything that I'm talking about and everything I do in the day I'm in and all of my affairs. See, now the other way, in principle, I could say that I could have that at work. Maybe some kind of work or something like that. Maybe I can fudge a little bit, or call it a white lie, and then use it, because it's a white lie. It doesn't mean much, you know. No, it's not too important. Nobody, it's not hurting anybody. And but that to an alky just gives him a big doorway to open up and walk through and really start lying now, you know. That's why the character changed. That's why I have to live today, this day, only for this day. Even though there's tomorrow's coming, and they have been for me for 75 years, don't make no difference. How about what if something does come tomorrow that I need to know, or I need to have, or I need to do the truth, and I don't do it? What good is that other time, whatever that time is, see? So anything I have is not permanent. It's permanent only when I'm with God. That's what I said. Remember I said yesterday that when God does the things that he does for me, you can't take them from me. See? You can't do that. I can throw it away. In other words, I can go to self. I can just get mean, mad, do what I want. But you can't take it from me. See? Now, this is good news. See, to know this inside of myself. That's like just like Ken here, you know, at your job, at the work you do. I used to do the same type of work and everything, you know. And any one of the mechanics could take it away from me just as quick as a bunny, you know. Or a customer could come in, you know, and he could do the same thing too. But today, this day, there's none of them can do it. None of them. See? I can throw it away, but they can't take it from me. Somebody else, we can, yeah.
Yeah, you want me to come up there?
Yeah, the only reason why is because of the need of the tape.
Sure, we have questions all day. My name's Ken. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ken.
Something that I was would like to be considered, something that I was considering, I noticed this year we have people from England, Germany, Australia, Georgia, Tennessee, Arizona, you know, with brotherly and harmonious action. We were talking about, well, how do we keep in touch with each other? What about starting up some sort of retreat or workshop in Arizona? Mm-hmm. But how, you know, can we keep in contact with each other so we can let each other know what's going on? And mm-hmm. what I'd like to propose for consideration is maybe a quarterly primetime newsletter where we can advise people where they live of things that are going on, things we're doing, people who have rooms available for out-of-state visitors who are in town want to attend a primetime meeting, because it based on my experience here the last 2 years, the message is spreading. And I would like to maintain contact with some of the guys here from Georgia and, of course, Tennessee and everything. So what I wanted to say for our consideration, if we can get together a mailing list with a phone list, then you know, I would gladly volunteer my services to put this mm-hmm. newsletter together to keep the information going out so that people that want to attend these workshops can attend these mm-hmm. workshops. Mm-hmm. So I would like to propose that for the group consideration.
Sure. Okay, real good. Thank you. How does everyone else feel about that?
Real good.
Is there anything wrong with what was said?
We'll need addresses, not just phone numbers on
that. Okay, what we'll have to do, and we'll have to do it now while we're all here, we'll have to get a tablet. I don't know if I have one or not. But
in your car, maybe?
In where?
Where would you think it would be? Where's the other one? There's a bedroom?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it'll be in that leather case that's on the floor. Yeah, we can do that. We can get all the addresses and names and everything down in there and make some kind of a standard card or whatever, however you do it for the computer, you know, so that everything is in there, you know, just punch it in. That's the same way this retreat is here. I give everything to Sylvie, and Sylvie just punches it in a computer. I don't even know what's on the sheets even, you know. And then just let it go that way, you know. And it's,
Craig has volunteered his computer for that service.
Just
Craig,
here's the office. I'm Greg, and I'd be happy to.
Okay, real good.
All right, Greg.
Real good. Yeah, see that, you know, see that's the importance of the morning meeting. After you spend a weekend, you know, a lot of hours have been spent, you know, here, and the information and the way of life and the continuation of what we're doing right now. You know, how else could that happen? I don't know. It just wouldn't happen. Probably, I don't even know if anybody else has ever even done that. I don't even know. You know, but we could. Yeah.
My name's Randy, and I'm an alcoholic. And this has been an awesome retreat. Thanks for all of your strength and support and encouragement. This morning when I got up, I was reading out of the Sermon on the Mount, and it led me to think about God, and I started to think, you know, what do I think about God? Who is my God? And the book says, you know, if you don't like my conception of God, why don't you choose your own? And I was sitting and I was, you know, contemplating what my God is and who my God is and what I believe in and how I can share my life more with him. And it was real powerful for me to do that, just doing that, because I realized, you know, how I've talked about this before, you know, how short my faith is and how much I do in my life because I think I have to, because I haven't gone there with God yet. I haven't offered that to God, and also because I haven't expanded on what my conception of God is through the application of this steps. I mean, I think if I've heard you correctly, as I apply these steps to my life, not my understanding, but my awareness of what God can do in my life expands. So I don't know who God is more, but I know more what he can do in my life, and so then I can let him have more. So anyway, maybe you could talk a little bit about expanding on your conception of what God is in the day that you're in today.
No, that's real good. Again, the same thing like I said before, that the questions or the need of questions from one person, one alky into another alky, like the meeting, you know. Sometimes you go a long way before you realize or before your eyes or ears open up to a lot of things that could be yours and could have been yours, and they're just now becoming yours, you know. And that's what you're talking about. What you're talking about too, in the definition, you know, what I had to learn was the spiritual progress, about what spiritual progress means. And I had to keep in mind some facts now, and these are about the steps, and this was about that I live only in the subconscious, and I also only live in the day I'm in. So I do plan, and I had a sponsor that taught me this now, and it was one of the questions I asked him about the future. What about the future? You know, what about, you know, things that I have to plan or do in the future? And he told me right away there's not a thing wrong with thinking or planning for the future, provided that it doesn't upset today's living. That was the truth that I had to learn how to do and how to use it, and how, because of vacations and because of appointments being like Nick. I bet you got appointments all over the place on certain days, and you have to be there, and you're many, many hundreds or thousands of miles away from wherever it is. And so the plans are to be there, and the plans are there, but you must, according to this program recovery, you must have today's life for today, because you live today, even though the future is there, and even though everything has to be done then, but you can't upset today's living or rob today's living of something so that the future would be better or would be fulfilled. And this is something I had to learn for myself by application. And it never fails. It never fails. Never once did I ever get stopped or robbed of an event or a happening or a vacation or a place to go to ride or to do anything like that. And yet it was planned for it maybe a week ahead, 2 weeks ahead, 3 weeks ahead, but it didn't rob today's life at all. Didn't take away anything that was in my life today. That meant money. I didn't have to starve or save or not do things today, so that I could make that happen later, you know, like I used to do when I used to go fishing and I was drinking. I go to Canada. I used to have to save money and rob, you know, and do things and everything else so that I could do something 6 months from now, you know, and make it happen. Otherwise, I knew it wouldn't happen. By the time I got to that 6 months, I couldn't go anyway. I was broke, you know. So the planning part of it was there, you know. the change of character, of the new character, being reborn. These are principles or truths that what you say is right now, like what you're saying, I had to learn that I can go in the day I'm in farther in my life that's needed, deeper in my life. Deeper means in relationship to what is going on, I can go farther or deeper by spiritual life, because this is God's world. And this is the help of God, God going through me. This is when I talk about the living God. I talk about God consciousness. These were things I had to learn. See, because I knew what it's like to get on my knees and pray, and I know what it's like, you know, to pray in the morning, at night, and maybe sometimes during the day, and all that kind of stuff, you know. This isn't about that. I can pray to God right this minute, right now, when I'm looking at you, see. And this here is what I heard this morning over there at the Mass. Say, you know, and I'm sitting next to Frank, and then the next to Frank is Ted, and then I'm thinking about Ted, about what we talked about last night, and I'm talking to God about what we talked about last night, Ted and I. And so you see, he's a power that can do things I can't do. I don't know who God is personally by shaking his hand, but I know that his power is available for my life to live in the day I'm in, and I can get closer to him if I live with him. But when I don't live with him, I get farther away from him. And then when I do that, I'm back, not necessarily in trouble or nothing like that, not necessarily that at all, but I am not where I should be for my life in the day I'm in, because of the fact that there is a distance now. Instead of having a living God with me as all of my affairs or as I walk and talk, maybe he's in my affairs when I woke up in the morning, and then after I went wherever I went, I forgot about it. And I go, maybe I'll go to noon. And maybe I read something or I turn the radio on. Some kind of a reminder comes to me. Man, you haven't even talked to God in the last 2 hours. And this is quick as that. I know that's God wrapping out of my brain. I know that. And immediately I apologize to God for doing that. And then I start a relationship again at that very moment. Now, I used to be ashamed to say this and tell you this and talk like this, because I thought it made me less a man in your eyes anyway, you know. But this is all I have. This is bottom line what I'm talking about right now. And it's bottom line the same way for Bill when he wrote about it. And if you want to read it in language of the heart. I think it's on page 238, 237. And it's about emotional sobriety, about false dependencies, had to go. Total dependency on God had to be there all the time. And he couldn't do it until he offered love back, the same love that God was giving him. That meant to people, any people, to the world he lived in, and then he could have it. Yeah, you wanna?
Yeah. Dan, I'm a holler.
Hi, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of underscore what, for me, what Bob was talking about, and what these retreats are about for me, and talking about this message for a couple of days at a time. He touched on it this morning. I walk around, I live with a grenade in my pocket, you know, and that grenade is alcoholism. That grenade is this, and it can go off any time. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting in church this morning, I'm thinking of those people, and I was raised a Catholic, and I was listening to what Father Gerald said this morning and what he said last night. And, you know, I used to be able to get up, or used to think I could get up and go to Mass and then go about my business all week and conduct my life like a regular guy. I'm not one of those guys in that church. I have to have what I learned here, and that is this walking around God with me all the time. Because if I am not in that, If I'm not in the presence of that God, I've got the pin out of the grenade, you know. And it's as simple as that for me. That that organized religion is fine, and it's fine for those people that once a week where they can go and they can whatever they do once a week. But a guy like me who has a disease, who is going to jump me any minute, I've got to take it out of that church with me and bring it into this room and take it down the hill. And if there's a message that I got in prime time from listening to Bob all the years I've listened to him, is that that's available to me, that what happens and the root to that are these 12 steps, that is how I can relate myself and get myself on the rails I need to be on in order to live in this way of life. And for me, this weekend has been just another reinforcement of that, just to be thankful. I was talking to Ted this morning, and I feel like I'm home again. But I'm always home when I'm in, you know, when I'm with this power that I found through the 12 steps. I just want to thank you, Bob, for everything.
Thank you, Dan. Somebody else? Jose.
Jose, alcoholic.
Jose.
You know, mainly I just wanted to thank everybody for being here for me, and I am so grateful to God that I made it to this retreat. You know, this is where I belong. You know, this is this is where I get, like, you know, last night I was getting tears of joy. You know, I haven't had any tears for the last 2-3 years. You know, it's no. And yesterday I did, you know, and it, I felt so good, you know, because I emptied myself out of all the rat race, you know. And it's a wonderful feeling, and I'm so grateful to God. I've been thanking, praising, acknowledging, you know, this is the things that Bob taught me, you know. I love you, you saved my life, and I know it saves a lot of people here, you know. I just want to be that I'm very grateful. And thanks for the grace of God, you know. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Jose.
Thank you,
somebody else, we got some things to talk about. Is there anything at all that's been said this weekend that has any impact on you, that maybe would could add to your life, or you could see something a little clearer, or know a little more than what's before you got here? That's what this is about, you know, because of the fact that I know, you know, there's so much to say, and there's so much that has been said. So while it's going on, you know, there's a lot, an awful lot, you know, but it never goes old, at least it don't for me, you know. In fact, it gives me more power all the time, you know. The more that I'm with God and closer to Him, And I'm actually doing His power, His will, which I learned right out of His print, you know. I get stronger, and my mind gets stronger. My very being, you know, changes, you know. And believe me, I don't have to think ahead of time for one minute. I don't have to think for one word, one direction. That's why I like unquestioned. You know, man, I love questions, you know. And they're not the same questions. And I've never seen the questions before. And that, to me, you know, really is a gift from God that He allows me to have that for my life now. This is all about me, see. This is not about you. If you say it's about you, that's your business then. When I say it's about me, that's my business. And that's why I talk the way I talk. Somebody else. Yeah, Frank. I'm Frank, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Frank.
Frank.
What a deal, huh? You know, the Sunday thing is called overview, and, you know, the questions never end in my mind. And I was sitting there getting kind of, you know, upset about this and getting disturbed because the same guys ask the same questions all the time. You know, I say, what's the matter with these guys, you know? And what that does is that reminds me of just who the hell I am and what the problem is with me. And the problem with me is as Frank sees it, and that's what the problem is. And I got alcoholism, I got ego problems, I got everything that alcoholics have. Plus, I'm Frank Plus, you know, I got these other collateral problems, slight drug problems and things like that.
Oops.
Yeah. God bless you, Jose. You know, I'm truly blessed. I've been here so many times with so many of you, and those guys that are here for the first time, welcome. And like I was talking to some guys in the dining room over breakfast, you know, keep November in mind, and we're going to try to do this more times during the year. But there's something here I can use for my life as I live my life. It's not just something I can come here and enjoy, and then I'll go back to the city and I'll lose it. There's work to be done, and I'm speaking for myself. This is not, you know, it's never been a glamour gig for me. I've always had to try and try again, and it was the trying. It was, you know, it's the as we sincerely took this position, as we felt new power flow in, as it's an ongoing thing, it's a living thing right now, that life is only good for one thing, and that's living. And it's the quality of life that brought me here, or the absence of same. But it's the quality of each day now that keeps me here. And I'm surely no saint, and I'm no angel. And anybody that's ever talked to me knows how slimy and backbiting I can be, you know? Like my friend here. I'm old snake to the bone. I got alcoholism to the bone, see? I'm a hydra-headed monster. I can be your best friend or your worst enemy in an instant. And really, nothing's either good or bad, but thinking makes it so, and Frank thinks all the time, and I don't shut down. But I know this. All the things that I did all my life, I lived in fear of having to go through the discipline and the prosecutions and the revelations to society and the world of what I am and what I did and how I could never live in the shame that brought me here, that I brought in here, and the baggage. But the strength of a loving God that I found here, the fact that I can hug a Catholic priest for crying out loud, I could never even talk to one. I didn't want to see one. I had no time. Didn't you know how important I was, how important my life was, how significant I was? I was a lawyer, you know, and after all, you know, I'm so important I can't hardly breathe. Choked off. But you know, the bottom line is here, as I leave here today, I never really leave here. I can leave here or take my body down that hill, but I knew in my heart I never have left San Lorenzo once I've come here. And the memories that have come to me in these experiences that I've had here never really go. And I'll tell you, in some of my darkest hours in recovery, I always come back here, and I always find sustenance here. But most of all, it's in the love that you give me and the way you've loved me back to dignity again, even now. But it's a basic nuts and bolts thing. I have one day, and I'm not cured. Just a day of reprieve is all I have. And the more I look, the more it's there. And I'm a real smart guy. And I figured out a long time ago to fly with this guy, I needed feathers on my bones. Otherwise, I'd just throw on bones, see? So I had to read. And before I'll give you, if you haven't figured this out yet, I'll give you a little tip that I found. Somebody gave me. Before I go to retreats, I start reading a couple of weeks beforehand. So when I come here, I'm better prepared to accept and to hear and to understand. Because once I get that understanding, and understanding's a threshold for me, understanding never changed, because recovery for me is not an intellectual event. It's a spiritual one. Understanding gives me tools. But sooner or later, the action has to come. And action means prayer. By the grace of God, Godspeed to you all. Have a safe trip home. Those of you who are traveling great distances, keep coming back and come back and see us again. And for me, thank you all for being a part of my life. Thank you so much.
Yes. I'm Mick, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
I've been talking yesterday quite a bit about my struggling with staying close to the message, and that's certainly so, and especially with establishing a better relationship to God. But this might have sounded a bit too pessimistic. I have got so much out of this message and the program up to now, especially my depressions have gone, and my relationships have become so much better. But what I wanted to tell you about this weekend here, this has been quite an unique experience for me. Up to now in my life, wherever I deal with people, whether socially or in business, there's always been a hidden agenda behind it, either from my side or from the other side. But here in these rooms, you don't feel that at all. Everybody reveals his true feelings, and so it really has been a unique experience for me, and I want to thank all of you very much for that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I am Todd. I'm an alcoholic. I guess you stand here.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, as an overview, I was just sitting here, and I'm looking over these notes I got. I got the same book from a couple of years ago. Not the same one, but same size. And I'm interested to go home and compare notes, because I look at that booklet. I need to look at it more, is what I need to do. But I'd look at it, and it's full. It's just jam-packed full of the best information in the world. And I was looking over this one and thinking, I think I got the best notes in the room, you know. I took some notes. These are important notes to me. I need to do that, you know. I need to do that. I don't know, because... you know, I've been around this message, sometimes I don't pick it up. I don't know what that is. I guess that's alcoholism is what that is. You know, I get into self. And I need to come up here and tell on myself, really. And I guess I was just, wrote down another thing in here, and I got notes, and then I got some notes to me in the back. And I was writing this one down, and I thought maybe this is my overview. Kind of this deal, this retreat this weekend, and I wrote that I must take this knowledge and information and bring it with me every day, every moment into my life, and I must turn these words and principles into action, my actions, and that's the method, or it may as well not exist, because I haven't got it. I own my own program, and I just need to come up here and say that to you guys.
Good. Thanks. Thank you. You bet. You bet. Yeah. Thank you.
I am Mike. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mike.
This has been a real experience for me this week, and being in the program just as long as I have. Getting an opportunity to get a feel for what AA is all about, and the steps, and getting closer to God, meeting all of the guys that I've met, and how warm they are, and how good they are.
Good morning. You know,
that they weren't always that good, and they weren't always that kind, you know what I mean? You know, this isn't a group of people that you would find, you know, you go into that church this morning, and I mean, I spent a lot of time in a Baptist church when I was younger, and, you know, like, if this crowd would have walked in to a Baptist church, you know, everybody would have to run out at a different point, because I know what we all were before we got to this point, and this common denominator that kind of brings everybody together and keeps everybody together, and this awareness of God and getting closer and closer and trying to improve your life and trying to live better, and you know, all of those, the process that you know, that happens, that transformation, it's kind of a miracle in itself to watch, and you know, it's something that... something you got to pay attention to. It's something that changes people for the better so dramatic that you just got to believe in something. You know, people don't change like this without, you know, they just don't change like this without some help. It's just something there that I want to get more of, and I guess I got my spiritual maintenance that I need for the day, and hopefully for the next tomorrow and on and on. And,
goodbye.
You know, I'm in the program. It's kind of funny because I was sitting there today, and I don't know. I'm just kind of going through these motions, and I don't know what to do or say, or today I'm sitting up there, and I've never taken communion because I'm not Catholic. I'm Baptist. I grew up in a Baptist environment. But I should have paid attention to what was going on, because I was like the first or second guy following Peter up there, and he goes, and I'm not paying any attention, and I almost took a drink with the monk over there. And then I noticed that everybody, you know, I walked up to the glass, you know, it was like somebody should have tackled me, you know. But anyway, I've had a wonderful time up here, and I've met a lot of great guys, and I hope to see you guys around next year.
I get it. What I wanted to say is that a couple of things that haven't been said, I think, should be said, you know. And this is not telling you what to do at all, but this is saying what I know, that if I was working with you on a one-to-one, I know that this, what we're talking about right now, is the same thing. Is that the world that I lived in was not my, it was my world, but it was not the world that I could live in. Because everything had to be rearranged. Everything had to be set. I had to change you, and then make this happen and that happen and so on. And the world became a rotten world. You know, life sucks, in other words, you know, because everything, there's so many things to fix, you know, because everything's going wrong. The only thing, what I just said to you, I said to you a mind that said that to me. A mind told me that. I didn't read that, and it wasn't the owner of the place didn't tell it, didn't say a word to me. In fact, he's probably out of town. See? But I never knew, and I never questioned. Did you ever question yourself about this right now? The self-talking is an ongoing way of life that I don't know how to stop doing it, because there's no other way of doing nothing but that. And if I don't do that, I don't do my job. See? So what do you do in a case like that? Go on self-talking? Go on having more trouble? This is the same kind of trouble we're talking about here, where my mind keeps closing tighter and tighter and tighter all the time, because people are against me, they're fighting me, they're telling me this, that, and so on like that. And in recovery, even sober, there's no such thing as a recovery even with a closed mind. Because how many meetings or how many guys, even here right now, that have had time in AA and then lost it? Why'd you lose it?
Never did it right the first time around.
Nobody
never really got here the first time.
Right. No, yeah. The message was never delivered. That's why. That's the thing that needs to be looked at. See? Is the purpose of why to go back to wherever you go back to or need to go back to. Right now, knowing what you know right now, I can guarantee you right now, that you won't go back. I know you won't go back. You don't need to go back. I know that. But without this message, though, there's no way that I believe that would be that way. See? This is something that's really important.
Bob, you know, you talk about self-talking and closed mind and open mind, and I just got to experience that an hour ago in this room, in my life today. I write a question, you couldn't read my question. My mind closes because I'm not hearing the answer that I want. Mm-hmm. That took me into self-talking, which took me out of this room, not just for a quick cigarette, to take a walk. I was out of the room, almost took me out of even wanting to be involved with you, this group, or anything else. And I'm listening to my mind. I finally had to pray and just ask for a new experience, for an open mind, just enough to have a new experience. Maybe I'm misunderstanding something. Maybe I need to walk back in the room, and just sit down like I've been doing and listen. And I asked God, and I prayed to God, let me come back in the room and just listen. Give me an open mind just for 5 minutes so I can come back in the room. Within 15, 20 minutes of coming back in the room, the topic of my question came up. The confusion for me was answered. You didn't do that. But inside here, the confusion, the transferring from 2 to 11 is what it was about, changed my entire perception. Because I didn't buy the self-talking, and I prayed for the open mind just to walk back into the room. That, to me, is application.
That's, I kind of think, you know, the message, you know, that is what Sandy was talking about there, is the message that I believe needs to be delivered. Like I said before, I prayed for many years, you know, if there was only some way to get this message out so that you could send this message or carry this message to so many people overseas and everywhere that need to hear it because of their lives being in jeopardy and their way of living, that most of them have to die because of it, you know. That we're very blessed people. I know we are. In the book, in step 12, it says in there that we've been given a gift the way it says here, and it's called a free gift, you know. But it's much more than that. To me, it became much more than that. See, it's an undeserved gift. In other words, I didn't qualify to have what I have today, and had all these years in a relationship with God and a program recovery. There was no way that it could be there except from an undeserved gift. Because even a free gift, I've been given gifts all my life, but an undeserved gift like this, how do you explain it? You know, you can't. Because it comes only from one direction, from one power, for all of us, any of us, you know. That's why in this book here, in the 12 by 12, in step 12, you know, when it talks in there on page 109, it talks in there that I'm going to learn to love God and call Him by name.
In the big book, Bob, where it says, rarely have we seen a person fail who's thoroughly followed our path. It took me a long time to find out where that path was, and somebody that could deliver the message that was in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And there's very few people, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
This message that we're hearing needs to be carried out there.
Yes.
And there has to be some more people sitting in your seat.
Mm-hmm.
Lots more.
Lots more. Yeah. Yeah, I've been praying to God for...
Thank God.
Yeah, right. I've been praying to God many years. There must be some way to carry this message. There's got to be some way to carry this message. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know. You know, but I know that it the minute it's carried, if the people that need it hear it, and just as quick as that, their lives change. Their children, their wives, everybody, every one of them are affected. Something that's really needed badly, you know.
Like you say, you know, the truth is truth even when the liar says it.
Yeah, even if a liar says it.
The truth is spoken,
yeah.
Somehow it goes right in. It goes past all the other defenses. It goes right in.
Yeah.
If something happens, it doesn't happen with anything else.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how many people have delivered the message that I don't want anything they got, but the message they were delivering was the message, and
mm-hmm.
I received.
Mm-hmm.
I have an open mind that day to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but keep the mind open all day is the problem.
Well, see, you know, let me say something along the line of what you just said. You know, I got. Let's see, is he in here right now? Frank in here? No, he's gone. No, he went out. You know, he'd be a good prime example to use. And I'm sure you wouldn't mind, you know, to live this life that I'm talking about, you know, as a way of life, as a life that I live for me, see, that I don't wear out, see, I don't wear out.
And the reason I was going to say Frank there is because I took him with me one time to Colorado, and I wore him out, you know, the first day. The way I wore him out is I kept him going with me all day long to where I go. I go to the Eric Club, and you know, AA, and make 12-step calls and talk, you know, and that, and he's there and so on like that. The first thing you know, why he's so tired, he's getting cranky. And I told him, I said, man, I got to take you back and let you get some sleep. He's wore out, you know. And I'm just starting, see. And I've been going at it all day long, and I'm still going strong, and I still got the evening to go yet for some more at other meetings, you know. But you see, if I had to furnish that kind of energy, see, it wouldn't be there. Because I'd have to go lay down and rest a while first to do something along that line. See. Now, well, you guys watch and see yourself now about what I'm talking about. See yourself now if this doesn't apply to your life. See if this don't happen to you. See if all of a sudden, you know, there's things to do and you do them and then you find out later on, man, I haven't been in bed for hours or days. Sometimes I would even go to bed for days even, you know. And I never yawned even, you know. But that was, I knew that there was a reason behind that at the time. I knew that, you know. Because the purpose of being where I was always the same. There was somebody needed help. Somebody was crying for help. And a lot of people cry for help, and a lot of people can't hear that, you know. Because they don't say, help me, or they don't say, I'm in trouble. See, they just say, maybe I got a bad relationship going, or I got a divorce, or I lost my stuff, or something like that. And so it's like listening to a story, you know. That's not a story most of the time. Most of the time, that person's asking for help.
That open mind that you carry with you allows you to... the power of God in your life lets you go all that way, and by the
yeah,
only by
right.
The way.
Yeah, right, right on. Right on. It's only 5 after 5. Yeah, I done it too quick now. I got
it wasn't actually quick, we just didn't take any breaks.
Hey, you're probably right, you know. You probably are right about that, you know. You're probably right about that. Yeah, because if you put 20 minutes up there, that would put it down there just about where we would be closing down. So anyway, you guys want to call it quits, and we will end it on this here note now while we can. Yeah. I want to thank you all for being here too, and thank you for this day. This has been beautiful. And after dinner tonight, you know, between 8 and 10, there's a regular meeting goes on now. I'm not a part of it at all, and we can, and it'll be run just like a regular meetings run, or like. Whoever's leading wants to run it, you know, they want to let somebody talk for just 3 minutes or so or something, and we'll let... Huh?
Drunkalogs?
No drunkalogs allowed. No way. You know, I was going to ask you guys, did everybody sign this thing here?
Yep.
Everyone? Reggie?
Yeah, I did. I don't think everyone
did. Did everybody sign this here? It's your name and your sobriety date and your phone number.
Bob, should we not put our address on there for the pictures and everything?
Well, you know what? The reason I didn't put it on this one here is because this paper, I didn't think it was big enough to carry that much of information down. I'll tell you what you can do. We can pick one, like on a Monday night, we can pick how many guys want pictures, and then we can just go ahead and order them. Because there was so many shot, you know, that I don't know who has the best shot or which one would be the best one to make, you know, and stuff like that. But we can go ahead and develop. Like, I'll develop my camera, and then somebody else can develop theirs. And then Monday we can figure out, because pictures are very, very inexpensive, you know. Over at Costco over there, they don't cost very much at all, you know. So we can do that if you want to do it that way. But I got everybody on here. Have I got everybody on here?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you what?
How do I get a picture? I don't live in the area.
What area do you live in?
I live in South Bay.
You could get it down there. Whereabouts in South Bay? Huh? England? I live in El Segundo.
Okay, so you don't.
All you have to do is just call my number.
Okay.
Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah. Just get my phone number. Yeah. 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 That'd be very easy. And let's see. There was something else. Let's see, something else that was, oh yeah, that's another thing too, is tomorrow they have mass at 8:00, okay, and Catholic or not, they all go, everybody goes. If you want to go, you'll have to go there before, get there early, get there, you know, 7:30, 7:35 or so, otherwise you can't get a seat or you won't be able to sit near the altar or anything else like that. So, Ted, did Joanne ask you or to have somebody carry the chalets? She didn't say anything to me either. And normally she says, she asked me about it, you know. She didn't say a word to me, so I figure she said it to you. Nope. We generally do that. We generally do it. In fact, this will be the first time in the past 12 years that I have never, that she never asked for me.
What's the schedule after?
And so the mass goes on, and then we have breakfast, and the breakfast then puts it a little bit later, and puts it, say, around, by the time they clean up and that, it puts it around 10 o'clock or so. So we come back over here, and we have what they call an overview now, not a review, an overview. And this would give you a chance, or you a chance, anybody a chance, to talk about what we just had from Friday night till now, in newness or application. Maybe you want to know more, maybe anything at all. But you're done by 12, and you're gone by 12. See, and in the morning, what you have to do in your bed, each room. There's clean sheets and there's clean pillowcases, and you have to make your bed, put everything outside the door, the trash and the dirty sheets and the pillowcases and that, and make your bed up and the room, red it up a little, and that'll be done. And you can do that in the morning before breakfast or mass or after if you want to, whatever. Turn the room back in the same way it was, you know, because everything will be in there anyway, poor day. And other than that, that's about all I can think of right now. So what we'll do now is we'll close it up with the Lord's Prayer, and then we got a little time before we eat then. All right.
Six. 6 o'clock.
We all hooked up? Our Father.
Our Father.
Art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Keep coming back. Good voice. This is the end of the steps on Saturday, 11/9/96. This tape ends right here for the retreat at San Lorenzo. This is on a Saturday. No, it'll, yeah, you leave everything the way it is. Yeah.
See the replication where there's not. Yeah. Oh, I was angry. It was good for me.
Right.
Your feelings about life after
No, the only different one-on-ones or anything. No, the only thing is that I believe there is such a thing. Because there wouldn't be such a purpose of the life that we have now. At least I think that way. Anyway.
You know what to do?
To describe it or anything else like that, you know. Well, it doesn't mean I'm getting away from it. My mind stays open all the time to everything. And it really has to. Because it is. All of the chemicals that they give me and all of the chemo and all of the surgery.
It wasn't going particularly to your situation. I was going to lie.
Well, I think these are
doing things here, so many things about the purpose of doing things right here, make it better for when you go there, and all that stuff. I get all confused with all the different relationships.